Chapter 11. The Path from Bethlehem to Golgotha. We have seen that the path of profound peace, the path from Bethlehem to Golgotha, lies open before us all. The words of Jesus, "Be my followers," can certainly be realized. That is why Hermes Trismegistus said, "Sublime and well-trodden is this way." However, he realistically added, "But difficult for the soul to follow as long as it is in the body." Let us now examine these difficulties in greater detail. First, the soul has to struggle against itself, achieve a great separation, and allow one part to gain victory over it. For a conflict arises between one part and the other two parts. The former tries to escape, while the latter try to drag the former, that is, the soul, down from below. The result is a fight and a great trial of strength between the part that wants to escape and the two others that strive to detain the soul. However, it makes no small difference whether the one side or the other wins, for the one strives with great effort towards the good, while the others make their home in the domain of perdition. The one yearns after freedom, the others embrace slavery. If the two are vanquished, they remain locked up in themselves, inactive and lonely, abandoned by the one that rules. But if the one part is defeated, it is carried off as captive by the two and deprived of everything, and it is punished by the life it lives here. "See, my son, this is the guide on the way that leads to freedom. You must give up your body before it dies, and overcome the life of conflict. Then, if you have won that victory, you will return to the highest." You will understand that this text places before us the true resurrection of the soul, the liberation of the soul from the hold of natural birth. This is a difficult task, but one that makes victory all the more beautiful. The inner struggle every candidate has to fight is described in the Gospels in the capture of Jesus the Lord, in his cross-examination before Herod, Pilate, and the Sanhedrin, in his humiliation, his way of the cross, and his death. Finally, we see his grandiose victory on the third day, the Feast of Resurrection. You will find the entire evangelical story of Jesus' suffering and resurrection, down to the minutest detail described in the verses quoted from the fifth Hermetic book. The Jesus drama, the Jesus epos, signified the birth of the soul and its course through matter, its liberation from matter, and its ascent into the world of the living soul state, from where it returned to serve mankind, to be helpful to the other chained ones. If you are pupils of the young Gnosis, you will know that the soul belongs to the triunity of the light, of the true being, spirit, soul, and body. Each of these three aspects of the being has its own inherent function, so that cooperation between the three is perfect and harmonious. The soul acts as an intermediary, as a mediator between the spirit and the body. Its positive part is directed to the spirit, its negative part to the body. So the outpouring of the spirit power into the body takes place via the intermediary, the soul. Let us consider the case of the pupil of the young Gnosis who has decided to walk the path of piety. The consequence will be the birth of the new soul. What does this mean? A light power radiation of high serenity, which is not of this world, will penetrate the nature-born being via the heart sanctuary and take up residence in it. That is the birth of the new soul. The immediate effect is an ever-increasing inner struggle, an ever-increasing tension. Many pupils tell us time and time again that they live with this tension and cannot escape from it. That is only natural. As the radiation of the living soul state enters the heart sanctuary, the sword is thrust into your being, and the result is a tension which, at a given moment, can no longer be tolerated, leading to a great crisis. This will result in the liberation of the new soul state in resurrection. When the new soul is born, the body is influenced by a new light force. Yet equally, many other forces are at work in the body, natural forces which are absorbed by the root system of the serpent fire from the surrounding dialectical field. As soon as the new light force chooses to dwell in the body and acts as a new intermediary principle, it is, as it were, taken prisoner at that very moment. The new light in us is then waylaid by the natural powers represented by Herod's soldiers, the bands of the high priest of the natural being, the mercenaries of Pilate. The new soul principle cannot and must not avoid this, even if it were possible. It agrees to be taken prisoner within the system, for its task is to surrender voluntarily to this body. It must be the mediator in order to save the whole being and urge it to transfiguration. That is why Jesus, the Lord, must, in great calmness, voluntarily allow himself to be taken prisoner. In this lies the essence of any potential transfiguration. No one else can accomplish it for you. A great man who perhaps lived 2,000 years ago cannot do anything for you. At best, he is an example to be followed. It is you yourself who must walk the path. That is why Jesus the Lord said, "Be my followers." Perhaps you can visualize the extent of the initial struggle of the new soul principle before it can achieve the great separation and be able to speak the positive consummatum est. It is accomplished. That which is true, pure, and undefiled must deliberately and knowingly join with the unclean, the sinful, the dialectical. It must, in perfect love, allow itself to be spat at, kicked and flogged. It cannot and must not escape this. At the beginning of this very painful process, the new soul being may ask beseechingly, "Cannot this cup pass me by? Is there no other possibility?" But this cup must be emptied to the last drop in order to attain the goal. The new soul element has two poles. One is directed to the fatherland, to the father, to the spirit, to the approaching Pimander. The second must direct itself to the nature-born personality, to allow the immortal, the new power of salvation, to flow into the mortal. This is the reason for the inner struggle you must experience from the very moment you celebrate your true pupilship. We have had to wait many years before we could talk about this. However, the moment has come in the course of development of the young gnosis when true pupils will understand this and can be considered strong enough to be able to cope with it, to bear it. Consider the following. Two absolutely heterogeneous states of being combine. In the gnosis, one undertakes to link the heavenly with the dialectical, in accordance with the example given by all the great ones who said, "Be my followers." If you link these two heterogeneous states in your system, great pain will result. One pole of the new soul element will flee to the spirit, to Pimander. The second pole will have to encounter the nature of death. While the new soul element makes every effort to strive after the good, after the essence of the spirit, it must, at the same time, suffer the conflict with the two essential powers of nature, passion and desire. What grief will be the result? On the one hand, there will be intense longing for liberation with every heartbeat. On the other, there will be contact with the powers of defilement and slavery. In this way, the cross is erected. The vertical and the horizontal are joined together, solidly planted in the earth. What is heavenly bends down towards the earth and goes its way of the cross on earth. It must do so. The top of the cross is directed towards what is heavenly, and at the heart of the cross is nailed the rose of the soul. Do you feel the inescapable grief of such a nailing? The vertical is continually scourged and tortured through this voluntary surrender. The spirit cannot bear it, cannot stand it. And if the horizontally active soul power is drawn upwards for a while, this is again an impossibility. The result will be a scorching pain the scorching of burning. The horizontal cannot abandon its nature being, and the vertical cannot become established in the nature of death, although that is exactly what it is supposed to do on a voluntary basis. This process, this way of the cross, as the Hermetic philosophy summarizes, is the guide to freedom. You must give up your body before it dies and overcome the life of conflict. Then, if you have won that victory, you will return to the highest. This guide is the cross with the blood-red rose, the cross of voluntary self-sacrifice, the cross of purification. Nailed to this cross, the young soul must wrestle and fulfill its task. Therefore, if you walk the path of piety, you should not be surprised that you have conflict in your life and still so much in yourself with which to struggle. What is taking place is the necessary encounter between two antagonists that are completely irreconcilable and that by their encounter cause a great inner fire, the fire of the cross. This fire cannot fail to appear, it must rage. The new soul state must first have overcome mortal life. This, stated Hermes, is what you should very well understand and struggle through with your inner being. There are people who take on the struggle caused by the path with their I, with their ego of self-mortification. Such people make this inner struggle into a conflict of a highly personal nature. They proceed from the mistaken idea that all this pain, trouble, and grief strikes them because of the fact that they still have an I, because their lower nature plays a trick on them in one way or another, because they are still that bad or that sinful. But this has nothing to do with what we have been discussing. Please see the situation very clearly. As pupils, you have opened your heart sanctuaries to the new power of the sixth cosmic domain, the power of the living soul state. It penetrates your blood, your nerve fluid, and advances to the head sanctuary. It fills your whole being and causes soul birth. However, there is also the other power which is absorbed by the root system of the serpent fire system. This power also finds its way into your being. These two entirely incompatible powers cause the burning fire. In this way, your soul suffers and so does your I. You should not think that the I is the cause or that the soul is the cause. No, it is the encounter of two incompatible forces, two different tensions, two antipathetic electromagnetic powers. What should you do now? Live the endurer. Do not allow the I to meddle in this process. If you feel grief and tensions, do not work them off on other people, but experience your grief as the necessary purification process of the Holy Rosicross. If you experience this grief to the depths of your being, the Gnostic light power will be active in you in a most mighty and dynamic way. As we said before, there have always been those who consider the struggle caused by the path as a struggle of a personal nature. They become, as it were, completely bound up in the I, and so they put all their efforts into self-mortification. However, it is precisely the I who should stand aside. The I should not step in anywhere. It should become quiet. Just let this struggle, this purifying fire, rage. Just think of the ancient monastic habit of self-chastisement and voluntary mutilation in the struggle against the flesh. However, the struggle of the way of the cross is not a struggle against the flesh. It is a struggle between the sixth and the seventh cosmic domains that takes place within you. It is impossible to be victorious if these things are tackled with the I. Such self-mortification is suicide. A human being cannot bear it, and death will be the result. Therefore, we emphatically repeat, you must not fight against yourself like a desperate man. Then you will only invoke all sorts of forces which are active in you. You will then place your I in the service of one of the two parties. The results will be a speedy consumption of energy until death follows. What should you do then? You should exercise devotion until piety has been found. Give this the first priority in your life. For the I, it will mean the endurer. Withdraw from the inner conflict of the two natures. Do not be a party to this conflict, and let the new soul perform its voluntary work, its sacrifice within you. This is what the initiated mystics had in mind when they said, "Let Jesus Christ do his work within you." Do not force yourself to withdraw, as if into a corner of your being, from which your eye can peer at what is going on. No, you must desire the Endurer with all your heart now, in the present. It must be your deepest longing, for which you yearn in self, forgetfulness, and serving love. If you do that, the new soul element will be born in you, and you will begin your way of the cross, your way of the rose and cross, the meeting between the two irreconcilable elements. So the soul will not seek to fight, because the soul is only love, and the eye will not fight for it, then desires only the Endurer. What will take place is an unavoidable encounter between the two irreconcilable electromagnetic forces. Through this meeting, a circulation will develop in your life, a grief, a struggle of that which hastens upwards and must experience and endure the fire of its sacrifice. No one knows how long this fire, this struggle, this grief will last. No one knows for how long all the results of the way of the cross will make themselves felt in your being. It is something that cannot be forced. It is a process that you must accept, willingly and joyfully. The process will last and burn entirely in accordance with the nature of your microcosm, your being, entirely in accordance with your karma and the merciful radiations active in your microcosm, but at a time when you don't expect it, perhaps right in the midst of the fire of some trial. It can suddenly appear that the mortal has been overcome, and that the consummatum est can be spoken. Therefore, accept in perfect objectivity your path of the rose and cross, and do not meddle in it with your eye. Then the hour of liberation will certainly come. Your soul will arise and celebrate its morning of resurrection. This will be the first new day, the awakening in the golden head, the beginning of the new morning, the morning of eternity.